All right. Well, without further ado, we've got Connor Boyack on the line. Connor, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jake. How you doing?
I'm doing super. So today is libertarianism compatible with Mormonism?
Lots of isms we're throwing around.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've never seen libertarianism as popular as it is today, largely because of Ron Paul talking about
it.
But still, I get that look like people are like, you know, Presbyterian? What is that? You know what I mean? They don't they don't know it's basically a political philosophy.
Well, or even if they do think they know, often they have some bias or preconceived notion or the stereotypical, you know, atheist, pot-smoking, anti-government anarchist, you know, and that to them is what a libertarian is. And then non-drug-using Mormon guy like me comes along that says he's libertarian, and they kind of, doesn't
work. Yeah, they think like, man, boy, that Pendulette sure got one over on you.
Right. I must have some mental issues, which, hey, very well may be true, who knows. But, you know, I came across an article a few months ago. The article was a transcript of a conference address given at the Mises Institute. They hold an Austrian scholars conference every year. And it was from earlier this year. It was by a guy named Lawrence Vance, who, if you've read Lou Rockwell or any Mises stuff, he's very, very prolific there. And he gave this talk at the conference, and the title of his talk was, "Is Libertarianism Compatible with Religion?" And so he was talking perhaps more broadly. He did narrow the scope of his address to Christianity specifically. And from there, as a Christian himself, he provided some scriptural, some biblical examples of very libertarian social norms or government theological or theocratic, I should say, government policies in support of his contention, ultimately, that yes, libertarianism is compatible with Christianity. Now, at the outset, before getting into the Mormonism thing specifically, I realize even though we're in Utah, you probably have a large segment of your audience that isn't Mormon. You know, I don't say what I'm about to say in my segment to be exclusionary at all. In fact, I think it's perhaps even more important for those who already agree politically with libertarianism generally but may not be Mormon, because especially if you live in Utah, you're going to know Mormons. Even if you don't live in Utah, if you have any listeners online throughout the country, a good chance that they know Mormons. They have coworkers or friends, what have you. And so understanding what I'm about to suggest in terms of that libertarianism is compatible with Mormonism, even if your listener or whoever doesn't happen to be Mormon, I think this is still helpful information.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing because clearly the predominant culture here is Mormon. And as such, you know, we do live where they're with a political system where there's voting and representatives. And so if you could speak the language of the predominant culture, you have a better chance of maybe having, you know, a liberty-oriented culture, whether it's, you know, religious or not, is kind of a side issue.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. In fact, in his address earlier this year, Lawrence Vance, he has a portion where he says, look, what you specifically believe about religion in terms of this question as to whether libertarianism can be reconciled with Christianity is totally immaterial. It doesn't matter if you think it's, you know, a bunch of mythical stories, you know, or if you are a Christian yourself, what have you. Really, we just need to look at the question itself because it's an important one, and as we're trying to persuade other people. So in his article, in his speech, he affirms that, yes, Christianity is in harmony with libertarianism. Now, I say if Christianity, biblical Christianity, shows kind of a stream of support, of scriptural support for libertarianism, then it's my contention that the Mormon faith, that our theology and the LDS faith, offers an overwhelming tidal wave in comparison. I mean, it was interesting to read his article and see the scriptures that he shared, and to me it seemed like he was stretching. I can see where he was going, but there wasn't a ton of information in terms of supporting libertarianism from the Bible. Now, in the LDS faith, with the scriptures that we have in our church history and modern church leaders, even though there are exceptions, so for example, one of the church presidents, Heber J. Grant, was a huge advocate of prohibition, just a huge advocate of prohibition. So clearly it's not like the Mormon faith and everything about it 100% overwhelmingly supports libertarianism. We have our own kind of foibles and contradictions and things that you have to work through. But as I read, as I've been working on my book, reading through the scriptures that we have, listening to church leaders and things of that effect, there's just so much stuff that supports the argument that indeed Mormonism can be reconciled with Christianity. A perfect example, real quick, is in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 134. It's a book of scripture that we got, and it says this. It's prefaced, it's titled A Declaration of Belief Regarding Governments and Laws in General. And there's a verse in there that says this. We believe, and you'll like this, Jake, we believe that no government can exist in peace except such laws are framed and held inviolate as will secure to each individual the free exercise of conscience, the right and control of property, and the protection of life.
Now, I mean, that's about as libertarian as you can get.
That's as libertarian as you can. I mean, that's Thomas Jefferson. It's life, liberty, and property. It's the Declaration of Independence. And what's interesting to me about that verse, and there's lots of other stuff, but I wanted to start at least on that one, is it doesn't say, you know, that the government has to have laws that it tries to uphold and tries to support. This says the laws about life, liberty, and property need to be held inviolate. You cannot violate them to have a just government. To the extent and at the very moment that you do violate life, liberty, or property, then that government is unjust. And I love that. It's weaved into our scripture. The Declaration of Independence, the principles that Jefferson put in there. So,
well, it's very, very clear. I mean, I think what you'd notice is as these New Testaments come, you know, you start with the Old Testament, not very libertarian, you know, lots of death, lots of slavery, lots of mean, nasty stuff going on. Then you get the New Testament, and it's more libertarian. It's more pacifist, more about, you know, the money changers, all this kind of stuff, but not completely. You know, they still, slavery is condoned, but not, you know, not really endorsed, but not really told that you can't have it. But you're right. What I've noticed, and again, I'm just a layman on the outside looking in, but it does seem that the LDS faith is very much a hardcore liberty-oriented faith to me.
Well, and what's interesting, and kind of the reason that I wrote this book that I have out, Latter-day Liberty, is that as a Mormon, as someone who agrees and believes in all these scriptures and stuff, as all the other Mormons do, what I generally agree with you. I think that generally, you know, the Mormons do that. But I think that there's a little bit of cognitive dissonance from my observation in terms of many Mormons. Let's just narrow it to American Mormons. You know, most of them, all of them, support the Constitution, right? At a kind of a minimum, we think that the Constitution was divinely inspired. And so there's that initial inherent support for a foundation of liberty with the foundation of this country. But even so, I find that many of those same people support policies, perhaps unintentionally, perhaps they haven't thought through the logical consequences of the policies they support, that violate the Constitution, that violate individual liberty, that run afoul of this verse that I just read, that government laws must not violate life, liberty, and property. So if I could summarize in just 10 words my book, it would be that. It would just be helping Mormons see that this stuff isn't abstract. It's not something that we can just give lip service to and say that we support the Constitution. When we really look at the scriptures and the church history and church leader quotes and all this information that we have, it really boils down to a defense and a protection of individual liberty. There's so much rich, and I can't get into it all. I've got a 300-page book for that reason because it can get
very
detailed.
And that's launching, right? I mean, I know you're doing some events this weekend.
Yeah. So the book just started shipping a couple days ago. It's on Amazon, just Latter-day Liberty. You can go to latterdayliberty.com to find out where else it's sold. But yeah, this Saturday, in fact, thanks for bringing it up, in Orem on Saturday from 1 to 4 at Pioneer Book, we're having the big launch party. And we've got like a dozen prizes. We're giving away a photo shoot. We're giving away an iPad, books and gift cards and galore. And so, you know, if anyone's interested, come on between 1 and 4 on Saturday. Grab a signed copy of the book. Be entered to win. Really, already people have been buying on Amazon. It's already been shipping for a few days. People have been placing bulk orders, and so it's exciting that people are now reading it for what, you know, for me, a year has been in my head and on my computer. It's now in other people's hands, so it's very exciting.
Yeah, so now I know that some church leaders have been more liberty-oriented than others. The one that I always hear of is Ezra Taft Benson.
Now you'll like this one. Let's go back to that verse that I just read. In fact, there's a great quote, and I don't have it in front of me. I'll paraphrase, but I'll get it 80 or 90% right. He's got an article that's very popular. It was a speech that he gave called The Proper Role of Government. And in there, he says something like this. The proper function of government is limited to the sphere of activity in which individuals themselves are able to act. And the context in which he says it basically means, as you might guess from me saying it just there, that governments cannot have any more power than the individuals who comprise them themselves have. If I don't have the ability to, you know, incarcerate or use force against my neighbor for growing a marijuana plant, and I contend that I don't have that moral authority, I cannot, therefore, delegate that authority to the government. And so Ezra Taft Benson is just well known for being very political, very liberty, very supportive of liberty. And that article, that quote specifically, I love because it reconciles itself so well with that other verse that I just read and so much other stuff that you find in our scriptures that basically says, you know, it's the non-aggression principle of libertarianism. You don't have that authority to use coercion against the other individual unless you are have infringed upon or they have infringed upon your liberty. It permeates the scriptures. As I said, there are qualifications. There are some other stuff that you got to work through. But it's an underlying theme that I think demonstrates, especially when you look at how many examples of it there are, an overwhelming support within the Mormon faith for a libertarian political philosophy. We're not talking about a moral philosophy or any total comprehensive way of life, but just in terms of a political philosophy of what government can do, I think our scriptures are frankly rather explicit in terms of what we can and cannot empower that government to do.
Now, this is interesting. We're coming up on our commercial break here, but I want to ask you then, you know, because I agree, it sounds, you know, a lot of the ideas are very liberty-oriented, but then why the unwavering support for somebody like Mitt Romney? So, come on back. We're talking about, is libertarianism compatible with Mormonism with Connor Boyack? Come on back right after the break. All right, welcome back, Mental Self-Defense Radio. I am your host. We are right in the middle of the Boyack Review, and Connor is making a very good point. I mean, he has spent the better part of the entire last year writing about this this idea. So this is a fascinating topic. Is libertarianism compatible with Mormonism? What I understand, you know, again, my limited understanding as a non-religious person, but, you know, here in Utah and having friends that are part of the faith and whatnot, it seems like it, and like I said, like we were talking before, Ezra Taft Benson really seems to be the guy that comes up a lot. But now that, I mean, okay, I agree, but if Mormonism, if people are living up to their LDS faith and their principles, and those principles are indeed libertarian, and maybe they're not, maybe it's just that they're compatible with libertarianism, but please explain to me Mitt Romney and the unwavering support he has in this state.
Well, my immediate response is, though he doesn't have a lot of support perhaps in this state, maybe, please explain to me Harry Reid. I mean, you know, we've got more politicians on all sides of the spectrum.
Exactly.
By no means is Mitt Romney somehow the paragon of, you know, Mormon political thought. We've got people all over. And
let me ask you something, though, because this is something that I think about, obviously, being libertarian in the state of Utah, but I'm on the outside. I'm not into the scriptures and whatnot, so I'm interested. You know, I look at libertarianism as a political philosophy, and political philosophies are a subset of moral philosophy. And a lot of times, the Venn diagram of moral philosophy and religious values, they kind of overlap. A lot of people, at least people who aren't like nerds about this kind of thing, just kind of accept their morals from their religion. And so I'm really hopeful because I see Utah. I agree with your overarching premise, and I see Utah as the tip of the spear in something that could really happen big here because of that liberty-minded mindset. But then it again, like you mentioned, Harry Reid or Mitt Romney. I mean, how is that all reconciled? You know.
I don't know that it is, Jake, to be honest. I mean, I would consider them anomalies in terms of, you know, adherence to the underlying principles of libertarianism and Mormonism. Not to say that they're violating any, you know, of God's commandments or anything like that, but in terms of for example, the Book of Mormon, which is a book of scripture in the Mormon faith, specifically and repeatedly denounces preventive war. Basically, you know, you only go to war against those who have come onto your soil to attack you. Numerous instances of opposing that. It equates taxation with theft. It refers to one king as wicked for, among other reasons, imposing a single 20% income tax on his people.
See, this is what drives me nuts, though. That is libertarian. I mean, and Romney or Harry Reid aren't living up to that. Because look at this. I can understand that scripture, just like the Constitution, is open to interpretation. And on one side, you can have You know, Randy Barnett or Tom Woods interpreting the Constitution, and the other side you have living documentarian like Obama, and they can get two different things. But, you know, because of general terms like the welfare clause or whatever, and sure. I understand that. But like you're saying, they're talking about no wars of aggression, taxation is theft. Would somebody please just throw them these passages or send them a copy of your book?
That I wouldn't mind. That I think it would prove helpful. I think the underlying question that you're asking is, why aren't their public political actions adhering to what the scriptures and the things of our faith support? And I don't think it's just them, Jake. I mean, I think a majority of American Mormons support the war on terror and the war on drugs and all of this stuff. And, you know, I don't know that it can be attributed to any one thing. Maybe it's just they're so busy with their lives and they don't give this stuff a lot of thought, and they just kind of repeat the talking points of the news media that they hear on Glenn Beck and things like that. I just don't know that a lot of people have. In fact, I say this in the preface of my book that I should get out and read it. It's pretty short. I just say that I see amongst my fellow Latter-day Saints a total disconnect between the principles in our scriptures as they relate to politics and public policy and the actions of the politicians they so strongly support. And so my purpose of my book is to try and get past that superficial level and say, let's look at things a little bit deeper. Let's look at the scriptures that we all kind of profess a belief in and really see how it applies. So I agree that there's kind of this superficial, there's a cognitive dissonance between what we say that we believe in terms of we're supporting the Constitution and we support liberty and the politicians we, you know, collectively support, such as Mitt Romney in this state and things of that nature.
Within the LDS faith, what I think is an important thing, and shrink that gap between the rhetoric and the actual action, the reality of
absolutely,
because
I think when you abandon the rhetoric and when you abandon the pragmatic, so I think people also support Romney because of a pragmatic stance. They admit, you know, oh yeah, he's kind of flip-flop on these things, and he used to support all these bad policies and, you know, support the individual mandate, but he's a great businessman, and he's the one that can turn the nation around, and he's the one who can win, and, you know, I think they introduce all these pragmatic considerations that I think should be totally rejected. I mean, for me, voting and supporting a politician boils down to, will they adhere to their oath of office to support and defend the Constitution? Can I trust them to defend individual liberty in the office with which they've been trusted? And whether he can win or whether he's a good businessman, I think are totally irrelevant points, and especially when they violate the many principles that we're talking about here and that I introduce in my book, that, you know, sure, you're a good businessman, but if you're, you know, waging aggressive wars against other nations that have done us no harm, you're violating not only the Constitution, but, you know, from the Mormon theological standpoint, God's commandments. And that, I think, is especially egregious.
Now, one of the things that I've been pointed out by others, a similarity that's maybe more abstract, but really is underpinning a lot of libertarian political theory, and that is this idea of agency. That also seems to underpin a lot of the Mormon value system as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I talk about that a lot in the book. Just I consider liberty and agency kind of close cousins, is how I refer to them, that you can't violate one without violating the other. From the Mormon theological standpoint, agency is a gift of God, the ability to choose and to act freely, and that there. But prior to our coming here on earth, there was a war in heaven, a war of words, a war of ideologies, where Satan wanted to propose a plan, a counterfeit plan to God's plan of salvation that would have destroyed the agency of every man, woman, and I guess there weren't children yet, but every son and daughter of God. And his plan was rejected, and the plan of God, the plan of Christ, the plan of salvation was passed and introduced, and that was that everyone would have their agency. That implies that they can do totally stupid things with that agency. They are agents unto themselves. They have the ability, the authority, the capacity to act on their own. So it's interesting to me that we get down here to earth and now men are trying to play God, right? I mean, they're trying to control other people's lives and force upon them the things that they want to do, not that God uses force, but they're trying to exert control upon their fellow human beings, and I think that is a total illegitimate arrogation of authority that we don't have, that God doesn't even wield. Again, from the Mormon theological standpoint, God has given us agency. Why then are we trying to inhibit, if not seek to destroy, the agency of our fellow men through legislation, through coercive government action. To me, it doesn't make sense. It goes back to that cognitive dissonance I talked about, and I'm hopeful that when we kind of talk about the wedded nature of liberty and agency, when I show to my fellow Mormons in this book all the scriptural support that exists, that they and we all recognize that this, at least from our vantage point, is an eternal fight. And, you know, if we were on the good side of the fight then, we don't want to be on the bad side of the fight now. And to the extent that we are supporting any policy that violates that individual liberty of another person unjustly, we are on the wrong side. And so I guess I'm trying to bring back people to the good side, you know, whereas right now they might be supporting a Mitt Romney or someone who is repeatedly and institutionally violating it.
Yeah, I mean, it's challenging because, and here's my question for you, because I obviously don't get into these theological debates. What is kind of the pushback when you make this argument for agency? What is the either excuse or the, you know, oh, that's not relevant because X?
Yeah, sure. It, again, with the kind of the Mitt Romney thing, it boils down, in my experience at least, to pragmatics. Well, yes, we're not supposed to wage aggressive wars, but, you know, if we don't fight the terrorists on their soil, they'll come and fight it on ours. And usually it ends up being kind of these talking point generated excuses to try and
so people are kind of like, yeah, look, Romney is he's going to violate all our principles, but he's one of us, and we should have one of us in power.
Well, and I think it boils down to kind of the mentality that we see of people post 9/11, that they say the world changed after 9/11. And certainly many American Mormons have kind of bought that line as well. And so they support policies, whereas before they might not have. They think that because this, you know, global terrorist network is trying to destroy our freedoms, that we should therefore surrender our freedoms. You know, I say in the book, like, if the world changed after 9/11 and we're supposed to give away certain freedoms, then what other freedoms are we supposed to give away? I mean, should we throw our freedom of speech away and our the Second Amendment and, you know, we certainly have thrown the Fourth Amendment away and so many other rights? To what extent are we just going to be throwing away our rights because someone allegedly wants to do them harm? I think it's problematic intellectually. I think it's problematic morally. And certainly from my vantage point, it's problematic theologically to look for so many exceptions to decide things pragmatically rather than on principle.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm curious, for those people that are listening right now and have family members that are, you know, hardcore LDS, but not necessarily libertarian, maybe never even thought about it, what are your kind of specific strategies to maybe help those people who are listening and they want to wake up their family members? What are some of the easiest ways? I mean, there's some cool things that I've learned, like about secret combinations, and I mean, you know, like there's some really fascinating themes that I think could be explored. But what do you think is the best?
I don't, you know, you write a book, you become an author, you don't do it to make money. You do it because you love the content. So when I say this in answer to your question, it's not because I'm, you know, getting rich off of it. That I would suggest that my book is a great way to do that, and for this reason. For years, you know, I was kind of woken up, as I like to call it, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, where I kind of started looking into these principles and ideas. And it's kind of hard when you don't know a lot of other people who agree like you. Like, yes, this stuff exists in Scripture and everything, but it's kind of scattered, and you got to kind of pick up pieces. The goal behind this book is to compile that all in one so that it's just a tangible thing that, you know, a non-Mormon listener of yours could buy and give to his Mormon father-in-law and say, you know, read this, I think you'll like it. And in here, I hope that I've presented kind of a compendium, an analysis of all these things weaved together to show fellow Mormons, look, you know, you boil everything together, you pick all these pieces apart, and this is what we end up with. I love that Ron Paul, in fact, I don't even remember, I think he's a Methodist, maybe he's a Baptist, I don't remember. He's certainly not Mormon, but in his endorsement of my book, in the second paragraph, he says this, and I really think that this is an important point to your question. He says, those who advocate limited government necessarily must advocate strong religious, civic, and social institutions. These institutions, rather than the state, should act as the central organizing mechanisms in American society. And here's where it gets good. For this reason, Latter-day Liberty can appeal to readers who are not Mormon, but simply recognize that their relationship with God compels them to question their relationship with the state. So whether, you know, your listener isn't Mormon, he's Christian, he's atheist, agnostic, what have you, again, living in Utah or living outside of Utah and knowing plenty of people who are Mormon, This book, I hope, is kind of a primer. It's a guidebook to help people understand whether they themselves are Mormon or not, what, in my view, the Mormon faith supports in terms of a political philosophy. Ultimately, I conclude that libertarianism generally, though I give it a bit of context in the book and background and perhaps a few qualifiers, libertarianism generally, far more than any other political philosophy, has an overwhelming amount of support in our theology. And so it's my hope that this spreads like wildfire. I couldn't care if I made a dime off of it, but I've worked hard for a year. I think that this is a great analysis, a collection of everything that I've found over the years, and hopefully it serves as a great tool of persuasion and education so that people can give it to their Mormon coworkers or friends or family, what have you, and we can really promote these ideas within the state of Utah or elsewhere so that they gain more acceptance, not just among Mormons, but hopefully, you know, people of all faith or no faith.
Yeah, I can't think of a person better qualified to write it than you. I followed your works for a while, and you're very principally consistent. And, you know, I really do think that the LDS Church could be a massive asset to the cause of liberty at large, for the reasons that you mentioned today, but even the history, you know, how much Mormons have been persecuted by the state, by this government. I mean, it seems obvious. Now, we're bumping up against a break. We probably got about 40 seconds. Let people know where you're going to be this week, how they can get a copy of the book, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so Saturday at Pioneer Book in Orem from 1 to 4, we're having the launch party. You buy a copy of the book, or for every copy you buy, you're entered to win a photo shoot, an iPad, all sorts of other prizes. Details, you can go to LatterdayLiberty.com. That's ladder with two T's, not two D's, latterdayliberty.com. All the details are there, but that's this Saturday. It's the big launch party where we're officially kicking off the book, and hope to see everyone there.
Man, that is awesome. And yeah, you've got some really big endorsements, too. Everybody check out latterdayliberty.com for Connor's book that's coming out, the launch parties this weekend. Hey, congratulations, man.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I really think that you're going to be a huge, huge influence in this state. I think it's truly important. So, again, thanks for the report today. And yep. We will be back tomorrow, guys.